Welcome to Media Mavens,
a bi-weekly podcast where we discuss our favorite
or not so favorite
movies, shows, and games.
I'm Pam.
I'm Riley.
Let's get started. Hello, and welcome to episode 2 of the Media Mavens podcast. I'm Pam, and I'm here with my co-host, Riley.
Hey, everyone.
How you doing, Riley?
I'm good. It's a little later than usual for me and you, I guess.
Yeah. But the reason for that is that we have an excellent guest who is on the West Coast. He is the host and owner of the Spawn On Me podcast, which is always excellent. It's Khalif Adams. Welcome.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm super excited. This is going to be really fun.
I think so, too. I was very excited that you agreed to come on, and this being our second episode and everything.
No, I mean, you guys are doing really well. I was listening to the first show, and you guys have a really good rapport, and the timing sounds great, and the sound sounds great. So you guys are way, way ahead of where we were in our first show, so you're doing awesome.
Yes! That's what I like to hear.
Exactly. Thank you so much. So first, I just wanted to give you a chance to talk about yourself a little bit. As I said, you are the host of the Spawn On Me podcast, and it seems to have been blowing up recently.
It's doing all right. We're in year 2 of the Spawn On Me podcast. It's myself, Cicero Holmes, and Sharif Jackson, who joined us this year as a co-host. And it's been a lot of fun. It's been good to be able to dig into some subjects in the gaming sphere that most people don't want to talk about, and talk about race and politics and gender and a whole bunch of other kind of subjects that we don't usually hear on most gaming podcasts. So doing that while spotlighting people of color and marginalized folks has been a really good experience for me and for our crew and for the show. I think people have gravitated towards it.
Yeah, totally. That's one of the reasons I listen to it. I've been listening for, I think sort of it's been an every week thing for me for about a year. And before that it was, you know, an episode here or there. Mm-hmm. I love all the discussions you have about gaming and your specific take on gaming. I also enjoyed that on earlier episodes, I always came away with good music to download.
That was one of my favorite parts of the show, but we don't want to get sued, so we had to stop.
Yeah.
And it's one of those things where it's a double-edged sword. The bigger you get, the more people listen, and then when the more people listen, it's like the lawyers may come out.
Exactly.
So I was like, maybe we need to take out the music break. So I wish that there was a way that we could do that. Maybe when we get a business license or something, we'll be able to bring back music breaks, but that would be a lot of fun.
Yeah, that would be awesome. I think it was the episode with Adam Sessler where you played a song from Jazzmatazz, and that has just been a mainstay on my playlist since then.
That's awesome. That's so good. I love that album. It's such a good, like, Guru, you know, rest in peace, Guru. He passed mm-hmm. away a couple years ago. But Gangstar has always been one of my favorite groups, and getting to do that with Sessler on the show was even more fun because he's a big hip hop head, which I didn't know until we had him on the show.
Yeah, that was definitely a really good episode. And you've been around lately. You're at GDC, you were on stage with IGN and on the Lobby podcast.
Yeah, that was crazy. GDC 2016 was really big for us so far this year. I was lucky enough to co-host something with IGN on behalf of the Mix, the Media Indie Exchange. They do a showcase every year, showing off some really awesome games and showing off some indie titles. And I was able to get in there and co-host on IGN live on stream, which was nuts. And then Danny O'Dwyer from The Lobby and from GameSpot had myself and Sharif on to talk about the show and what we do, and it's still, when I see it online that I was on there and there was like a little lower third that was like, "You're on GameSpot," I was like, I want to cry. I don't know how that happened. It was one of those weird things, but it's been fun. It's been a lot of fun being able to talk about Bricago in a good way.
Yeah, that's so cool.
So as you're growing larger, do you have any sort of dream guests that may become more of a reality now?
I don't know. It's hard. Like, there's folks who we are kind of getting into their sphere now where, you know, you go to GDC and you go to, we're going to our second E3 this year, which is great. We're finally going to have the whole crew there, which is going to be amazing. And you look around and you're like, I might be able to get you on my show. This is kind of cool. I didn't think this was possible. So like, Aisha Tyler has always been a person that we've always wanted to get on the show.
Because
she's amazing. She's so awesome. We're hoping to have Austin Walker on the show soon. Because he's amazing. Mm-hmm. And they're just people who are in the list of guests that we have been thinking about for a while. You know, it's interesting, like, there was a little controversy with Cliff Bleszinski on Twitter a couple weeks ago. And he's been a person I've always wanted to have on the show, always wanted to have a conversation with. And now it seems like if I were to ask, it might happen. So it's weird. It's one of those things you kind of take it in stride. And we get no's still. We still get no's from people who are like, no, you don't want to be on your show. No, we don't. You're not big enough yet. So it's all working in tandem and transition to try to keep putting out good content and try to be true to ourselves as much as we can and always try to keep it so that you don't compromise your values and do that so that you can keep an audience engaged and entertained in the same way that we've been trying to do for the past 2 years.
Yeah, well, even, I mean, you do have great guests on your show, but one of the good things is that even without guests, you are all very entertaining. So
you get to hear our fights. That's what you get to hear. We get to throw shade at each other, loving shade, as yes. I call it, towards each other every week, and that's been interesting too. Like it's been funny to see our growth internally, externally. Cicero, who helped with me starting the show, is like writing for Operation Sports now, and we started doing some stuff with Hit the Pass, and then Sharif joined, and he's been doing amazing work with his Gaming Looks Good series and his stuff with STEM and NASA and all these things that he's brought to the table as well. So it's been fun to see all of us grow in the past couple of years and Spawn on Me be the kind of platform and foundation to help push all that. So it's been pretty dope.
Yeah, well, I obviously wish you the best of luck in your continued growth. So I guess we can get on to what we've all been doing in the last week or so. I feel like I've been putting you on the spot, Khalif. And
it's totally fine. Totally fine.
All right. Riley, did you want to start with some of the stuff that you've been doing?
Yeah, sure. Let's see. So Destiny finally got an update. And I jumped in and played a bit of it today. And really, the only things that matter to me in Destiny are how good I look and what my sparrow looks like. So luckily for me, there were a bunch of cosmetic items added to this new patch and a PS4 exclusive sparrow. So I went and I did the sparrow quest. So I have a new sweet new speeder that I can ride on, and I got a new shader for my gear. And then I picked up a couple things that when you put them on items, it changes like the glow on them depending on where the glow is put on the gear. So there's one piece that I got, and it puts the glow like underneath your shoulder pads. So I had this cool like blue light coming out of my shoulder pads. they added like challenge modes, which I haven't really done any of the raids, so I'm not sure exactly what that would be like, but it's like defeating a boss in a particular way depending on what the quest asks of you. But I mean, I don't know, I kind of like hop onto Destiny, play a little bit, and then forget about it for a couple months.
Yeah.
And then I go back and I play a bit again. And the most fun that I ever had in Destiny was when they had sparrow racing, which, like, doesn't involve shooting anything at all. It's just, like, racing your sparrow on this, like, a course, a couple different courses that are set up. And I don't know if they're ever going to bring that back.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I thought it might be a rotating event, kind of like the PvP events that they have, but it hasn't come back since the last time, so
Oh, that's disappointing.
I know.
Why would you introduce something like that and then just take it away?
I don't know.
I think they said it was going to be seasonal, where they first wanted to test it out and see if people liked it at all. And I think people kind of dug it, but they didn't really like the fact that their armor didn't have any real value besides it being cosmetic. And then they...
Oh.
And then I was like, well, that's kind of the reason you get on Destiny, is for the pretty things. It's like all the cool clothes. Yeah. So I think it may come back. It may take a while to come back. I think they'll put it in rotation, but I think it'll come back soon.
I hope they do. I wonder, some of the stuff that they added this patch, you can upgrade to, I think the new light level is 330?
Mm-hmm.
335, sorry. and I think, in the new gear that you get, it's, light level 3 or something, but you can, all the upgrades, the infusions that you want to do, they're 1-to-1 now, so if you have, a 310 item already, I guess it'd be 300, mm-hmm. You can put it into the new piece, and it'll automatically be, the cosmetic pieces you can actually use for, actual PvE or PvP content now, so maybe if they do that with the Sparrow Racing gear, then people might actually think that it's worth getting the gear for. But I don't know. I mean, there's so many people that just want the PvP stuff. Right. I know there's so many streams even on Twitch that are just PvP. So that's kind of it for Destiny. I kind of only hopped on for a couple hours. What else have I been doing? So the roleplay show that I talked about last week, or 2 weeks ago now,
mm-hmm.
Had its 50th episode on Tuesday, and they framed it so that it was kind of like the end of an arc, and they lost a member of the show. The timing just wasn't working out. Okay. So, he volunteered to leave the show, and if you have the time to watch this show, I would say do it, because the payoff in the end is totally worth it. The guy that does the storytelling, Adam Coble, he's the dungeon master of that show.
Mm-hmm.
The way that he tells it is extremely cinematic, and if you're just listening to it as if you would a podcast, it's kind of like listening to a radio show. Yeah, it's just so good. And, I was sitting there on Tuesday listening to it, and, the end of the show, I was, trying not to cry, because I was like, oh my god, it's all this stuff is happening, and I can't believe it, and it was just so good. But I don't want to spoil it for anybody, so I won't say anything about what exactly happened, but it was just, so good. And I wish, I only hope that eventually, my storytelling as a DM in games like that will be as good as that was, because... I just couldn't believe it. And I started watching a new one that they have on the channel called Mirror Shades, which is on the Shadowrun system.
Mm-hmm. I love Shadowrun.
Yeah, so I'm excited about that. Plus, the Mirror Shades series that they have has two women on it instead of being four dudes or five dudes talking to each other.
Mm-hmm.
It's actually got women on it, which is nice. A little diversity.
Yeah.
I can't really say much about that because I've only watched a couple episodes. And then, Heroes of the Storm, they had, their Heroes of the Dorm tournament, which I love so much. And I mean, it's sad that they have to have these kind of tournaments so that people can pay off their student loans.
Yeah.
But on the other hand, it's really cool. It was on, ESPN, last year, and they added an Asmodunk skin for Asmodan, and it's amazing. He shoots, basketballs, and, his abilities are, giant basketball net hoops, and his monsters come out of lockers out of midair. It's fantastic. It's, the best skin. And his shoes, his little feet have, basketball shoes on them.
So wait, who's Asmodunk? Because I'm not sure. I've never heard of Asmodunk.
Asmodan is the hero, and he's, from Diablo.
Okay.
So he's, a demon or whatever. And he, fires off these giant fireballs, and so people have been saying, get dunked on. you know, just like out of nowhere, like this kind of just became like a community made idea, and where people have been calling him Asmodunk instead of Asmodan.
Nice.
So they made this basketball skin for him, and because they have three different skin tints for heroes, and they added whoever won Heroes of the Dorm, their school colors are going to be the third skin for this hero. So
nice.
Arizona State won, so their school colors are going to be on that hero. And it's like, it's just such a cool way to like immortalize somebody's win in an esport. Oh, it's just awesome. And the skin is so great. Like, he says all these really good lines. Oh my god, awesome.
Yeah, I'll have to check that out. I like when they involve the community in ways like that. I mean, I know in World of Warcraft they use a lot of names and things of community members, but especially for a competition like this, it's really nice that in addition to having their student loans paid, they
yes.
get a little something in game.
yeah it's great. Like, oh, I just love it so much with his little basketball feet. I love it. And then of course Tracer from Overwatch is going to be in Heroes of the Storm next Tuesday the 19th. If you pre-ordered Overwatch and were a sucker like me and paid $80 for the Origins edition, then you get her next week in the game. So I'm excited to actually play that hero because she looks just, I don't even, like, she looks super difficult to play and just gonna, like, zip all over the map. And I don't, like, she's gonna be amazing.
When does everyone else get her?
I think when the open beta starts, in May, I think everybody else gets her. Or when Overwatch comes out.
If she's overpowered, people are gonna be pissed.
Well, yeah, that's the thing. She gets her ultimate at level 1. So she doesn't have to wait till level 10 like every other hero. She gets it right away. So I'm really curious how that's gonna balance out. I mean, apparently she has a very, very small health pool, so if you catch her, like, she'll die really quickly.
Mm-hmm.
But if she's anything like Li Ming, when they added her and they said, oh yeah, she's going to be really difficult to play, but she's super squishy. But Li Ming is, like, she was super overpowered, and she wasn't super squishy, depending on the build that you built.
Yeah.
So, I don't know, it'll be interesting to see how things work out with Tracer, especially with her getting her ultimate at level 1. I'm not really sure how that's gonna work. And then I'm volunteering for a gaming expo at the end of the month.
Oh.
Yeah, I signed up for the volunteer session. I think it's actually this weekend on Sunday. I had never even heard of it until I saw it on, I think, Facebook. It's called the Enthusiastic Gaming Live Expo. It's in Mississauga, something like that. And it's, they have, like, live tournaments for, pretty sure, like, Halo, Hearthstone, League of Legends, CSGO, and then, like, vendor stuff, vendor floors and artist alley and stuff like that. So I think it's a much smaller expo than I'm used to going to. I usually go to Fan Expo in Toronto at the end of August, mm-hmm. which is extremely crowded. Tons and tons and tons of people, so I'm hoping that this will be a little smaller and maybe I can actually, like, get to talk to some of the people that game in Toronto instead of making my way around a super crowded expo hall. But yeah, I'm really excited to see what it's like. Like I said, I've never been there before, so I'm excited to check it out. Plus, their code of conduct seemed really good.
Yeah. So. Yeah, I just found out about this a couple of weeks ago, which I was surprised about because it's not their first year, so
yeah,
somehow I had missed it before.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Yeah, so I'm excited to check it out and also volunteer for it. I don't even know what I'm in for, but we'll see.
They're like, Riley, here, do this thing. You're like, okay.
Yeah, if they they were like, yeah, if you want to officiate any of the competitions, you're more than welcome to sign up. And I was like, I have no idea what that entails, so no. Maybe I'll just, like, stand on the side and be like, you sit here. Used to do it.
Or you could officiate a wedding, because if you're going to officiate things, they'll just be like, here, here's some people who want to get married at the conference. Shit. Here's something that you can do really quick.
I mean, I'd do it. Do player one, take player two.
Nice.
But yeah, I'm excited to see what it's going to be like and who's going to be there. So, if anybody's going to be there, let me know. We'll hang out. It'll be cool.
Awesome. So that's April 29th to May 1st in Mississauga, not Toronto?
It's at the International Center, which I think is in Mississauga. Maybe on the edge of Mississauga, closer to Brampton.
Oh, okay.
I think it's by the airport.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I know where that is.
Yeah, okay. Like, the airport's not actually in Toronto. It's, like, up in Etobicoke.
Yeah. All right. I know you've got one more thing on here, but we will save it till last. Khalif, what have you been up to?
I have been playing the hell out of The Division. I have pulled at least two 4 a.m. runs in the past month because I am an idiot. And I don't want to treat my body well, so I've decided that I'm going to play a video game till really, really early in the morning and then try to go to work and act like everything's fine. And that has
I can't relate at all.
It's because I'm an idiot. I'm stupid.
You're a teenager, right? Your body can handle it.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. My 37-year-old teenager body that wants to cry and, like, almost fall asleep at work. Please don't listen to this work, people, and my boss. But no, listen to the show, but don't listen to my part about me saying that part. Yeah, so I've been playing the hell out of The Division, which has been great. I didn't expect to like it as much as I am. I played the beta before it came out and then wound up playing the retail copy, and I'm really digging it. The loot grind stuff is real, and it's good, bad, and ugly in a lot of ways, where you get into the game and you're super excited. You get some friends to go and do these missions, and you're super hype, and you get your stuff, and then you get on, you're like, oh, there's more stuff. Oh, I didn't get a thing that I can actually use in this battle. Oh, that's going to take another 4 hours of randomly getting things that may not necessarily be what I want. Oh, where's Destiny? I need cosmetic things now. And then you're like, oh, no. So Division has been good. It's been a lot of fun. The new patch that came out this past week is great. I think they did a really good job with kind of expanding on the base game with some new missions and things like that called Incursions, which has been really fun and super hard. Like, they basically have changed the way that you play that game in a fundamental way, because they've added a thing called gear score to it, which prior to that, it's like light levels in Destiny, but it's based on, you know, some random kind of mathematics that they have going in the back end. But that has then given you levels that you have to attain and have to reach so that you can do these certain kinds of missions, which are really hard and need a lot of teamwork. And it's been fun to see people not know how to use teamwork because they and then get really frustrated and mad when other people really want to. So it's like, hey, let's all get these four people together and try to do this thing as a team. And then the one person who's like, nah. And then everybody else is like, well, you're going to suck and we have to boot you out of the team. I'm sorry. And then people get mad about that. So It's been like light levels. I was telling someone earlier today, it was like light levels in Division is like the do you have a Galahorn in Destiny when you're trying to do the raid. And it's been interesting because it's only been out for a couple of days. So that's been great. I've been playing a lot of Enter the Gungeon, which has been really good. I kind of liken it to a top-down shooter version of Spelunky, where everything is randomly generated. The rooms are randomly generated. The bosses will come in not in the same order that they usually would if you were playing a kind of linear game. And it's all about collecting guns and shooting bullet versions of enemies. So you'll have one that looks like a normal bullet, and then you have another one that looks like a shotgun shell, and then you have all these other ones that do all these other weird funky things. And it's a lot of fun. The guy who did the soundtrack, his name is Dose One. He did an amazing job on it. He also did Gang Beasts. He also did the music for Gang Beasts and some other stuff. So that's out of Roll Dodge Games, which is amazing. I'm really loving the hell out of that. I've been playing Paragon 2. So Paragon is a MOBA.
I looked at that. Yeah.
So like the interesting thing is I've never played a MOBA until Paragon. Because it's always been, I've always considered that to be a PC game. It's never a PC style genre. Hasn't really translated well to consoles at all. Until now, where you see like three other companies are trying to come up with MOBAs on the consoles. So you'll have Battleborn, which I played a little bit of the beta, which is great. Yep. Paragon, which has been really, really my favorite so far. It's a third person version of that as opposed to first person, which I feel gives you a little bit more viewing angles on like your fights, your team fights and stuff like that. And it's not one of those super clicky, clicky, clicky things. So I'm just like, I don't want to have to click everything. I don't want to have to break a mouse to enjoy a game. But you can play it on mouse and keyboard, and it's cross platform between PS4 and PC, which is awesome. So you can play with PC people, and you can play on PS4, and it feels good on either end. So I'm really digging that. I play Muriel, who is a support character. And she is awesome because she has dope metal wings and she flies around the map and she has really cool powers. And I like playing support. So she's my favorite right now. That's my main. But I'm learning other ones because they have this card system that kind of fleshes that out. And the last thing that I'm actually messing around with has been with the latest update on PS4. They added in their firmware the ability to have remote play via Mac or PC.
Yeah.
Oh my God. So I'm at work. Again, work people don't listen. I'm at work. I'm on my lunch break. And people are like, Kali, what are you doing? I'm like, I'm playing my PS4. They're like, no, you're not. You're a liar. I'm like, look. Look at my screen. I'm like, I played some Paragon from my desk on my work computer, which is like a MacBook Air. And it totally worked. And it was fine, and I played a game of Paragon and won, and it was great. So
even better.
Yeah, even better, because I was like, I'm low ranked, and people are kicking my ass. But it's been really interesting to see, like, you know, if I was a Vita, I am a Vita owner. It's funny you say was, because there's no games for it. I'm a Vita owner, and the idea of remote play was always something that they kind of touted as being a hallmark of, you know, you can take this on the go and it's mobile and you can play and dig back into your stuff. But this version of the remote play function has been so well done that I'm really looking at it in a way that I didn't think I would, where games are playable that I wouldn't have expected it. Like Gungeon is a game where it's pretty twitchy and you have to move around the map pretty fast and dodge bullets and stuff like that. I'm able to play that game in a really good, reasonable rate. Division, I was actually able to shoot some people with and do that too. Nice. And not feel like I was losing too many fights because of lag or because of stuff like that. So I'm super excited. The PS4 remote play stuff is actually way better than they touted it was going to be. And it's really fun to see it work.
Yeah, I downloaded it on my PC just to see if maybe I could use it with OBS instead of using the streaming stuff directly from my PS4. But because we have two PlayStations in this apartment, it connected to my boyfriend's PlayStation. So now I have to figure out how to put it onto my PlayStation. Although, I mean, he's got the same games that I do, so I could technically just stream from his, but
I think if you sign in to your account and you make that account the main one, then it'll do it. Because I think I saw someone talking about that online, too. So that may be the workaround for that.
Yeah, I'll have to fiddle with it. But I thought that was funny because I was like, this is not my PlayStation. There are way more trophies on this one.
Nice.
Yeah. Pam, what have you been up to?
Well, I have been playing Quantum Break. Ooh. I picked that up day one. I have played some Remedy games. I never played Max Payne, but I am a big fan of Alan Wake, and I had just replayed Alan Wake for one of the gaming clubs I'm part of, the Cartridge Club, and I love that game. So I picked up Quantum Break, and so far I'm about halfway through, and I'm feeling like it's okay. It's not great. It's got a weird structure to it, Like, you, there's sort of like a three-part thing. So you play most of the game as the protagonist, Jack Joyce, who's played by Sean Ashmore, who was in X-Men.
Mm-hmm.
And so you play as him, something bad happens at the beginning, and then you go on a crusade to get the guy who did the bad thing. And then after that part ends, then you play the antagonist for a very short amount of time. And the antagonist, because the game has to do with time travel, so the antagonist can sort of see in the future. So you're presented with a choice, and you can see what the ramifications will be of either choice, and then you pick one, which will ostensibly affect the rest of the game. And then after that, you get like a 20-minute TV episode of the story, which doesn't include the protagonist at all, but includes all the sort of side characters. And it's just sort of strange, because on the one hand, I assume I'm supposed to be relating to the protagonist, but then putting me in the shoes of the other guy makes me want to, like, sort of make the wrong decisions for him so he's easier to take down. But as I'm playing, I'm just sort of feeling less and less affinity to Jack, the supposed good guy. It's okay. Like, the gameplay's all right. It's sort of a standard cover shooter with some time travel-y abilities, which spice it up a little bit. But it's, I don't know, it's just sort of mediocre right now. I'm not finding the TV episodes are all that enthralling. So, I mean, I'll finish it, but it's a little bit disappointing so far.
Do you feel like this is one of those games that was, you know, the talk about the Xbox One and PC kind of like connection being something that people have been looking forward to, and Quantum Break being the thing to kind of meld those together? Do you feel like it's doing that well or not enough?
Well, I'm playing it on Xbox, and based on what I've heard of PC, no. Yeah, I heard you guys talk about it on your show a little last time. Yeah, yep. Your last show. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, I hear there are some problems with the PC version. I know there was also a lot of drama when originally it was announced that it would be on PC, which I found kind of surprising that, like, two Microsoft products would have access to the same game. Didn't seem like that big of a stretch to me. But yeah, I don't know. I think a lot of games, I feel, because if I can play something on a console, I will play it on a console, so I don't get those problems. But it seems like a lot of games that are made for console and ported to PC don't go very well.
Mm.
Whether it's an Xbox exclusive or not.
Mm.
Like, Arkham, Dark Knight,
Asylum?
Whatever it was called, the last Batman one.
Dark Batman, been so many, sad yeah. Batman.
Yeah.
Mad Batman.
Mad Batman.
They're all yeah. the same.
Yeah, basically, the same. At this
fucking
point.
Fucking Batman. Yeah. That's the topic for another show.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Yeah, well, soon there's going to be a Telltale Batman.
No!
I'm actually okay with that, though. I think that Batman may be better.
Maybe. Maybe if Telltale does it, it might be okay.
Right.
But Telltale, I don't know.
Telltale is probably going to be an episode in the future.
God, I guess. Oh. Yeah. Got yeah. some things to say about Telltale.
Yeah.
Nice.
Other than that, I haven't been playing too much. I've been watching bad TV that I don't want to talk about.
I know what it is.
You sound so like mad and sad about it at the same time.
Well, my
that's
friend,
how it makes you feel.
My friend Sarah convinced me to start watching Grey's Anatomy.
Oh, I'm so sorry.
Exactly.
Oh no.
So I'm actually kind of liking it. I hate some characters, and I'm just like constantly mad at people. But I don't know. It's emotionally manipulative, and Jeffrey Dean Morgan is in it, and he's like dying of congestive heart failure or something, mm-hmm. and it's toying with my emotions, and I don't want to talk about it anymore. So since I'm mostly playing games I talked about last week, and I'm not watching anything, I've been listening to a lot of podcasts. So a couple podcasts I want to talk about. One is the West Wing Weekly podcast, which also came up on Spot on Me this week, and I was surprised to hear about it. I love the West Wing. I'm still in season 5 of it, and there's a new podcast hosted by Joshua Malina, who played Will Bailey in the West Wing, and Rishi Hurway, who is a political junkie and hosts other podcasts, I believe, and they are doing an episode-by-episode discussion of the West Wing. And when I found out about this, it just made my week, because I love the West Wing and I love discussion about it. So they're just doing slight recaps and then adding behind the scenes knowledge and just analysis of the episodes and whether the political maneuverings are realistic or not. So it's a good partner as I'm watching the show, even though I'm already in season 5 and they're still covering season 1. But it's a pretty cool thing to listen to. And then the last thing I wanted to talk about is a podcast episode I just listened to today, but it's the Fresh Out of Tokens podcast with Tanya DePass and David L. Reeves. It's another podcast that focuses on diversity in gaming. And in the most recent episode, they had on Mel Fleming, who is a localization producer at BioWare. So this was obviously very appealing since I love BioWare, and
yeah, we do.
And it's especially sort of salient because there's been so much discussion recently about localization and censorship, and a lot of people have been confusing localization and censorship. A lot of companies, Nintendo for one, are very cagey about how their localization process works. And though the episode didn't get into too much of the drama that's currently going on now, it just talked about really interesting things about what changes are needed when distributing a game in multiple languages. Like, I think they said that BioWare games get translated into 7 different languages, and just knowing what will work in one country or with one culture and what won't, and what things will need to be changed. Even things like names might need to be changed because they could mean something different for a different language. So it was just a really cool and interesting episode of that show, and I suggest people take a look at it as well as the rest of Fresh Out of Tokens.
They're great. Love Tanya and that crew. They're awesome.
Yeah.
So that was it for me. I know we skipped one of your things, Riley, because it led into our topic.
It does. So I actually have never watched Fear the Walking Dead except for the latest episode. So I know, like, a little bit about it, but I only watched it because it was on and I was like, well, there's nothing else to do, so I might as well see it because we're going to be talking about The Walking Dead this week, so why not? And I really liked it. But the only problem for me was that I saw the actress from The 100 who left very recently. And I was like, why would you leave that show to be a boring teenager when you're the commander of, like, the Grounders and the other show? Which is a whole other controversy in itself.
Yes.
So I don't know how far you want to go into that one. I thought it was a good episode. Like, they were on a boat. And the whole episode kind of took place on the boat. So I don't know a lot about, like, the character interactions and stuff, but I thought that it was a good episode overall.
Yeah. Khalif, have you watched Fear the Walking Dead at all?
I don't think I can. It's too many zombies. It's too many zombie shows at the same time for me. Like, I'm trying to... I remember when The Walking Dead first started, and I was reading the books. And then I stopped reading the books to just kind of focus on the show because I didn't want things to kind of get spoiled for me. So watching the fear of The Walking Dead probably would, like, fill my zombie quota for the month. I couldn't do it both.
Yeah, it feels like there's a lot of zombie stuff.
I mean, especially just, like, on AMC alone. It's like Fear of The Walking Dead, and then Talking Dead right after the show. And I'm like, I can't.
Yeah,
it's too much. Too much. Too many things.
Yeah, I watched the first season of it when it came out, and I really liked it. I find it's much more of a slow burn than The Walking Dead, because it's completely fresh material. It's not based on the comics. So whereas I find in The Walking Dead, like, people are very much comic characters. Like, a lot of them are just larger than life, and they're sort of more normal people in Fear of the Walking Dead, and it's getting a lot of bad reviews. Like, every review I looked up of the premiere was terrible. Like, people hate it, and I really liked it.
Oh, Pam, no. What is wrong with you liking things that other people don't like?
I don't know, because I thought it was pretty cool. There's I don't know. There's more communicating than just yelling at each other, which I think is something I'll probably get into once we get to our next segment. But just while we're here, we did get some questions, and one of them was specifically about Fear of the Walking Dead, so we may as well ask this now. And it's from Stephen Eider, and it says, do you think season 2 of Fear of the Walking Dead will be worth watching? And my answer is yes, because I thought the first season was worth watching, and it's also only 6 episodes, so it's a quick watch as well.
It's nice.
This one is, the second season is a full 15, I believe, but I think it'll be worth watching. I really liked the premiere, where it was going. I like the sort of character development happening. I really like that it's got a super diverse cast.
Yeah, I noticed that on the one episode that I've watched.
Yeah.
It's very diverse, which is really nice.
Now, there were problems in the first season. Every major character, every character with a speaking role who died was not white, which was like, after 3 episodes, I was like, are you kidding me? Like, do they not see what they're doing here?
I have thoughts on that when it comes to the next segment.
I mean, on the one hand, it's good that there's so many people of color on the show that they can kill a lot and still have a lot left. But but on the other hand, it's like, do you not see what you're doing? Like, do you not see, like, the pattern of every single person you've killed so far?
They're killing people in the room, and they're like, but I don't see color.
Yeah.
Fuck.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
I guess that's it for Fear of the Walking Dead, since I'm the only one who seems to watch it regularly.
Yeah, I mean, I'll go back and I'll watch it, but not to
from your stellar recommendation. Now we'll watch it.
Okay, so now we can get onto the main topic of the podcast for this week, which is The Walking Dead. The finale just aired earlier in April, and based on reactions on Twitter and such, a lot of people were upset, so we just thought... That's putting it mildly, yes. I think this is actually one of the rare occurrences where I will be the positive voice in a conversation. But
yeah, you might be right.
So, we just thought we'd talk about Walking Dead. For the beginning of this conversation, we're going to aim to make it a more general discussion. I don't promise it will be completely spoiler-free, but it will be season 6 spoiler-free, and I will give you a warning once we really get into the season 6 finale and such. But yeah, anyone have some general thoughts on the series? Have you been watching since the beginning? Have you read the comics or followed the comics at all?
I haven't read the comics at all, so I kind of came into it as just a TV show.
Yeah, I read a little bit of it up to a very specific spot when it was kind of converging with the show. And then I saw where things were heading, and I was like, all right, I have to stop because I don't want it to get spoiled in some way. But I've been watching it from the first season on. And the arc has been a really interesting one over the whole totality of the series. It's been not as bad as people have said, but also not as great as people wanted it to be. Mm-hmm. So it's this really interesting spot that the show finds itself in now, where they're trying to justify, it seems like seemingly trying to justify its existence for getting so good and being on for so long, which then leads you into really bad kind of weird decisions. So, yeah.
Right. I never read any of the comics. Although since I've been watching the show, I have been looking up just on Wikipedia and stuff what happens in the comics, because I want to see how they compare, especially in regards to the season and Negan. I read a lot about Negan before he actually came into the show. But I was not one of the comic book readers, so I'm not constantly comparing it to the comic as I think a lot of people are.
Yeah, a lot of people are.
Yeah.
And it's bad. I wish they wouldn't do that. Like, I wish as fans they could separate the two and let the show rock and just do what it does and then kind of, you know, use the canon as a loose kind of framework to then let the characters and the people on the TV show do interesting things with them. But fans don't like to do that. I don't know why.
No, they don't like it. And I think it's also hard to do, to separate the two, especially if one puts a certain image or expectation in your mind and then the other doesn't quite fulfill that. Mm-hmm. I can see how it would be upsetting. But at the same time, hearing people be like, oh, that was so much better in the comic. And I'm just like, oh, God.
Yep. It's funny because now that I'm thinking about the rest of the topics that we have on the docket, and I'm like, I'm totally going to say that. There's totally a character who's like that. I'm just like, oh, man, I'm going to say it. Oh.
You get a free pass this time.
Okay, thank you. I don't want to be that person. I don't really like those people. They get on my nerves. But I'm going to be that person for like a hot second.
I find like the reaction for comparing The Walking Dead to the comics is very similar to the Game of Thrones books and the show, where a lot of people are doing that as well. And I find like the book readers are super smug about everything. Mm-hmm. And I don't know like if the Walking Dead comic book readers are kind of like that too, because I haven't really interacted with anybody that's read the comics and then said something, but the written material is not necessarily better or worse than the filmed material. And in some cases it can be like, it's just so different. Like the mediums are so different. There's no real way that you can say that one is better or not.
Yeah, I think that's right. I mean, there's only so much you can do with either medium, and either medium has their particular strengths and they might not be the same. So yeah, it's not that worth comparing. And then plus TV has to worry about so much other things like actor contracts and things like that.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah.
Totally true.
Ratings, I guess, and how much they can show. Like books and stuff, you can go pretty graphic, whereas like TV, although now there are a lot of scenes in The Walking Dead that make me extremely uncomfortable because of how like gory they are. They're just like super bloody and like there were a couple scenes even this season where I had to kind of look away, like I couldn't watch because it was just so violent.
Yeah, that's one of the things. I know a lot of people are in it for the sweet zombie kills and things, and I'm impressed with their special effects and their makeup department, but at the same time, that part isn't the part that appeals to me, whether it's humans or zombies getting it. Like, I don't, like, the flesh getting ripped off skulls is not what I'm there for.
You can dig that.
So, in terms of seasons, does anyone have, like, thoughts on best seasons or worst seasons or just even the progression of how things went?
Well, I mean, it's interesting because it's like the way the seasons kind of go is you get attached to a character, you hope they don't die, and then they die. And then you're like, oh, damn it, they are dead. And it's interesting because it's like, you know, you kind of dug into it with the conversation about the fear of The Walking Dead, where people just get killed off left and right, and it happens to be people of color often. And it's interesting because my favorite parts of the series were when people of color got killed off, because I hated them.
Oh, no. Oh.
I hated them. They made them so terrible. This is what I'm going to say. It was better in the comic books. But, like, I think there were a couple parts in the series that I loved the most. It was like Daryl and Merle, when Merle got killed. Because I kind of think that the tent poles of that whole story are like, who did you get really attached to? And then when they die, how did that make you feel? Merle became a character where people started to care about him after he was a super racist dude. Yeah. He was like terrible for a long period of time. And then people cared about him when he died. Which was an interesting turn. But the two people who I was like, please die this week. can you please die? I was like writing people at AMC, like, can you kill this character off as soon as possible? Was T-Dog, who I hated, and gosh, what's his name? Tyrese.
Oh, really?
I hated Tyrese. And this is the reason why I hated Tyrese, because he was better in the comic book. And it was a weird thing where, and the specifics behind that are not necessarily, they kind of touch outside of the space, right? Outside of the medium, where a lot of times black male characters are pitched in very specific ways, where they're either the super brute, where they're brutish and they're just like, they don't have a brain and they're just angry and mad and full of sex. Mm-hmm. Or they are extremely, extremely downplayed and meek and don't have their wits about them. And it seems like they are kind of stupid. Now, to mind you, most people in the Walking Dead, Walking Dead universe are kind of stupid. They're really dumb and do really dumb stuff. But these two characters specifically made me really just hate them. And Tyrese especially, because in the comic books, he was an amazing character. He was like super strong. And like, he was, in fact, even in my own estimation, better than Rick and kind of more reasonable, if you can be reasonable, in the zombie apocalypse. Mm-hmm. And they downplayed his character so much that made me hate him. I was like, please die. So like those two characters in the story, talking about the kind of dynamics and racial dynamics of me as a black dude seeing some of that stuff, I was like, oh man, really? We're going to do this? Is it what we're going to do? And it seems to still be playing itself out in a lot of ways that way. It's mm-hmm. getting a little bit better, but yeah, those are two people I was like, please just get rid of them and bring in some new folks into the fold.
I found that I really liked Tyrese at the beginning. I found mm-hmm. as it went on and he started to become less prone to violence or less willing to resort to violence, he sort mm-hmm. of became, I liked him less, but I liked him. And I also just really like Chad Coleman. So
yeah, I love him as an actor. He's a great actor. He's an amazing actor.
Riley, are there any characters you particularly wanted to die while we're on that topic?
Gosh, I don't know. I mean, there were times where I thought somebody would die, and I'd be like, oh, yeah, well, you kind of deserve it for being stupid. I'm trying to think of who I'm most frustrated with. Probably, what is the preacher's name?
Gabriel,
yes. Where now he kind of seems to be like coming into his own, mm-hmm. And actually kind of sticking up for himself and being ready to help out. But he, I don't know, just when I found out like what he did and how he like might be willing to do that again, like hide and let everybody else die in his place, I was like, I don't know about you. But I mean, I don't know. I find Carl to be kind of annoying.
He's been shot twice. Like
he has. He's very resilient. I'll give him that.
That young man is bulletproof.
See, since season 3, I've wanted Rick to die, and I know that's, you know, probably not going to happen. But that's what I wanted. Every time someone's about to die, I'm just like, just die, just die. Let Michonne and oh god, now I can't remember her name. The farm girl. Glenn's wife.
Maggie.
Let Michonne and Maggie be the leaders. Rick, you're too angry.
Yeah,
he's so aggro.
Yeah.
He is. I'm going to come over there. I'm like, stop. Mm-hmm. Stop that. Why do you do that all the time? I'm like, you're
all
just
his
like,
people are so tired.
Oh my god. I'm just like, stop it with the throbbing. You know what I'm talking about. Stop mm-hmm. it. Stop it. Stop doing that.
Yeah, he's one I always wanted to die. I feel like I have to dedicate a moment here to Lori Grimes because I have a certain soft spot in my heart for female characters that everyone hates. I was just on Zufi's podcast, Pop Culture Coven, where we talked about Skyler White from Breaking Bad, who a lot of the fandom hated for, I don't think, what were good reasons. So Lori is another character who just people hated Lori while she was on the show. She was Rick's wife who thought he was dead, was told he was dead by Shane, and then got into a relationship with Shane, and then they find out Rick's not actually dead, and then she's just the terrible harlot for the rest of the series that she's in. So how does everyone feel about Lori? I didn't like her the first time I watched it. Watching it the second time, I felt more of an affinity for her, I think.
Lori kind of annoyed me, but I was probably in the same camp as most people who didn't like her in most of the series, because you can tell that she was a stronger character than they let her play to kind of like be the counter for Rick, but they never let her get there.
Yeah.
And that was really frustrating and made her character kind of annoying. But yeah, I get what you mean, though. The second time around, you can see a little bit of little traces of like how she should have been played better or could have been shown better. But yeah, she never got there.
Yeah, a lot of the time she was being protective of her son, who was fairly young when this series started. And then Rick was the more aggressive one, as he still is. So I just feel like there's a little bit, you know, she wasn't treated particularly well, just how she was portrayed in the show.
Yeah.
In terms of just general seasons, I sort of feel like the first season was really strong. When the show was announced, I was excited for a zombie show because at that time, there weren't a million zombie shows. So I like zombies and I like apocalyptic fiction. And so I really enjoyed the first season. And then I found they sort of dipped almost immediately, sort of in the second half of the second season. They found Herschel's farm, Carol's daughter went missing, and they sort of got into a rut where they just stayed in that farm for the rest of the season and got into that thing that happens in TV shows where no one communicates. They just yell.
Oh my God.
Which is probably my biggest complaint about the show, is that if people would just talk to each other and communicate, there would be a lot less problems for everyone.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Yeah. And then for me, a high point was the end of season 4, I think. As they were approaching Terminus, there was this really good build up to Terminus, which was then completely ruined by the season 5 premiere, which just blew up Terminus immediately. It was like Carol ex machina, and she just blows up everyone.
She did literally blow everything up.
Yeah.
Like, you could hear the A-Team music behind her when she was doing stuff.
Yeah.
I was like, oh my God.
Does anyone else have thoughts on particularly high or low points in the series?
I actually really loved the Governor storyline.
The first time or the second time?
yeah, right. The beginning where you found out who he was and his motivations and the play between he and Rick, I thought was really nicely done, because it just gave everyone someone to really, really hate that was not the zombies and not Rick.
Yeah.
So it was nice to see that foil be there in a real way, where people were just like, oh, this dude is maniacal and evil and awesome. And I think, honestly, I think this last season was really strong, even though people gave it a lot of crap. I think this was one of the best seasons that they've had so far, in the way that they were able to kind of show people's arcs and I guess we'll talk about that more, but yeah, this last season was great. I think this last season was really good.
Oh gosh, I just remembered what happened to Andrea.
Yeah.
With the Governor. Oh my gosh.
Yep.
Like, that was so good.
Yeah, it was so good.
Yeah, that was a good arc for Andrea. I really liked the Governor in his first appearance in season 3. I found when he came back as the bad guy again in season 4, I was less interested in seeing him as a relatable character that I should sympathize with. Mm-hmm. But in season three, I thought it was really good. I really liked Andrea and Michonne, and Michonne is immediately distrustful of the governor, and Andrea trusts him and wants to believe in this place that he's built, which seems safe and nice on the outside, like most of the places seem safe and nice on the outside yeah. before they really learn what's in there. But I really liked Andrea's character as well. I do kind of miss her.
I think she's another one that people either like or they hate her.
Mm-hmm. Right.
I find she was very divisive.
Yeah.
And, I mean, at first, I didn't like her. I thought she was, kind of whiny and, I don't know, she kind of, didn't fit in ever with the main group. And then when she had this arc with the governor, it was kind of felt for her when she kind of discovered what was really going on. And then, her last episode is horrible, but it's so good because you're so like, good. She's trapped there with this dude that's becoming a zombie, and it's just oh my god.
Yeah, it's pretty horrifying.
Yeah. I can't even imagine, obviously that's not going to happen.
Yeah.
Ever in real life. But, just thinking of, even if they, if they were going to put that in, a game or something where you're forced to, not be able to move and you've got this, zombie dude coming after you, oh, god.
That's what VR is for.
Yes. Oh, my gosh. I was just thinking that. Mm-hmm. Just gives me the creeps.
She's another character who I've heard a lot of people say, oh, she's so much better in the comics.
I don't remember her in the comics, to be honest. I probably, because I stopped really early, so I might have not gotten to her stuff yet.
Yeah.
Yeah, I wonder.
Okay, well, I think now is the time where I give everyone a big old spoiler warning and say we're going to start talking about season 6 specifics and finale specifics. So if you have not seen the entirety of season 6 and care about spoilers, you should turn this off and bookmark it and come back once you've seen it. All right. So you want to get right into the finale?
Let's do it.
Okay.
Yeah.
So the last episode of the series, we see a systematic breaking down of Rick and his group as the saviors are everywhere that they're going. They're trying to get Maggie to the doctor because she's pregnant and she's in a lot of pain and there's clearly something wrong with her. So they're trying to get her to Hilltop, and the saviors are just everywhere on every road, blocking their path. And then finally, there is the run-in that we've all been expecting for multiple episodes. We've all been expecting Negan for a long time. And finally, there he is. He takes all of Rick's group, all 10 of them, I believe it is, makes them kneel in front of him, and he's playing a game of eeny, meeny, miny, moe, and he's going to kill one of them. And then he picks one who the audience doesn't see. We see from from the perspective of the person being hit with the bat that their head is being teed off on, but we don't know who it is. And then fade to black. The episode is over. The internet explodes.
Yeah.
They were mad.
They were
so mad.
I was mad. And I did my best not to tweet anything, not to say anything, but that episode, I don't know if this is what they were going for, but I was so frustrated the entire time. It felt really slow, and I even looked at my boyfriend, and I was like, I swear to God, if we don't see Negan, because I honestly thought with the amount of time that was left that they were just going to be have him walk out of the trailer and you would only see his boots or something. I was getting so worked up. So if that's what they were going for, they did a really good job, because as soon as he came out of that trailer, I was like, oh my God, finally. And I flopped back on my couch and I was like, now I'm okay. Now we can continue on. But oh my God, the lead up to that was excruciating. Ugh. And now that I think about it, that's probably what they were going for. But I was just so, the entire time, I was just waiting and waiting and waiting. I was like, please let something happen already. And then it finally did. And then we have no idea who it is, although there's some pretty good speculation. But I was just, that episode left me feeling extremely frustrated with, like, no reward other than seeing Jeffrey Dean Morgan's gorgeous face. But
except his ridiculous slicked back hair.
Where do you even get hair gel in the apocalypse, I ask you? But yeah, I did enjoy it, but on the other hand, I also was very angry at the end.
Khalif, what do you think about, what did you think of the finale while you were watching it?
I think it was the build up for a long time was the whole talk about the saviors and who they were going to be. And everyone kind of knew Negan was going to be coming through fairly shortly. They had Carl pick up a weapon that had the infamous Lucille, I think is the name of his weapon.
Oh, yeah.
On the handle. So the foreshadowing was there. But what made it so awesome was I didn't know who Negan was at first because I'd heard rumblings about it from the Talking Dead and hadn't really gotten to his storyline in the comic books. So the person that I first thought was Negan was the guy who kind of runs around and is like the roadblock dude. He's like basically the person talking to the crew who kind of stops them at every turn and every pass, who was played by the guy who played played Trevor in Grand Theft Auto, which was phenomenal. So I was like, oh, this is Negan. And the crazy thing was, it wasn't Negan. And it was just like, oh, wait a minute. If this is the second level dude, who's this nuts? What is Negan going to be? And it was just awesome the way that they brought him in. He was witty. He was funny. He was scary. But the part that really got me, and which was the reason why, you know, yes, I was unsatisfied with the way that it ended, but it was the first time I'd seen the whole crew, and especially Rick, especially from the beginning of that episode where he was really brash and he was talking a whole bunch of crap. You know, yeah, if you see the guys, well, I'll have something to say to them. And then he's on his knees at the end of the episode, and he's scared and he's crying and he's like hopeless. And that was such an amazing switch in that one and a half hour show, you know, to that. I was like, okay, bravo. That was awesome. Like, I wanted to see that. I wanted to see them feel like they wasn't going to be a way to get out of this and feel, you know, the way that we felt when Glenn was almost killed. You know, we thought Glenn Glenn was dead, and everyone's like, oh no, he's going to be dead. So, you know, I don't know who the person is. I talking about people that you kind of wanted to die. I was like, please. I was like, I don't mind Daryl going. I know people are mad when you say that.
Oh man.
I know people get mad when you say that, but I was really mad at Daryl for that whole episode. Cause he did the same thing of like, I'm going to scream and then I'm going to get on my bike and I'm going to ride away.
I'm going to have a tantrum and leave.
Yes, I'm going to have a tantrum.
Get caught alone.
Yep. And I was like, you deserve to die. Mm-hmm. Die. You go ahead and die.
Yeah, I'm mad when they at do you. Dumb shit like that. Yeah.
Yeah, when they do dumb stuff like that, I'm just like, really? And then it makes me not care about you in the same way that I should because you're doing all this dumb shit. So, yeah, I'm hoping that it's not, you know, somebody that we want it to be or, you know, I don't know who it's going to be. But, you know, whoever it is, it's going to be a really heart-wrenching thing in the beginning of the next season. It's going to be crazy.
Yeah, I actually quite liked the episode. Like, I liked that it was slow. I liked that breaking down of Rick from being like, oh, saviors? Yeah, we'll just go kill them all. To, like, realizing maybe his group is not the most powerful group out there. I found the one scene where they had the sort of like daisy chain of walkers and they all had items from the people that the saviors had already gotten. Like, I thought that scene was really effective. Good. And then I wasn't too upset that it didn't show who died, mostly because I'm not that attached to anyone. As long as someone dies in the premiere, I'm okay. I can understand people's frustration because of the sort of shitty things they've done this season first, as you mentioned before, with Glenn. It's like, oh no, Glenn's dead. Oh no, he's under the dumpster. And then
he's actually fine.
Even in the one right before the finale, where Daryl apparently gets shot and blood splatters all over the camera, oh, yeah. And then there wasn't even any reference to that in the finale. It was like, oh, he got shot. Just kidding. He's fine. So I can understand, like, that sort of feels manipulative, and so not showing who gets killed. I can understand, on top of everything else, how people would be mad, but I like the finale as a whole.
Yeah, I think the pacing was great. It added this really awesome level of tension that we hadn't seen really in a while. But the Negan just, like, you know, he gave no Fs. He was super mm-hmm. chill about it. And yes, I do agree. Where the hell do you get hair gel in the zombie apocalypse? And also, everyone's nails are really well done in the zombie apocalypse. I've noticed this. No one has gone to a manicurist, but everyone has really good nails in The Walking Dead. Pay attention to it and look at it.
Also, at least a lot of the women have really nice hair.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
the men are eyebrows all, like, in particular. Shaggy bums, and I don't want to see them. Yeah. But the women all look really nice.
Yeah, like, I'm looking at their eyebrows in particular, and I'm like, my eyebrows never look that good. And, like, you know, I get them threaded every, like, you know, regularly. But this, like, How? I don't know. Do they, like, keep, like, tweezers in their, like, little pockets or something?
They're getting threaded. They're getting threaded in the zombie apocalypse. It's happening somewhere.
Yeah. Someone somewhere is making a lot of, well, I guess it wouldn't be money, but, like, maybe they get, like, food or something. Trade for threading eyebrows.
So does anyone have a thought of who actually gets killed or who they wish gets killed?
I kind of think it's hard because I think Carl would be the easiest one to get killed, but especially only because I think it would be the kind of impetus for Rick to even go further over the edge. Mm-hmm. It's like, if Carl goes, then all hell's going to break loose. But I don't know. I think for some reason, maybe it was Michonne. I don't know. Shit. Because I think it's one of those. I think it's one of those things where it's like, Rick, he's like, you've taken people away from me, and Negan would be the kind of dude to say, well, an eye for an eye, literally with Carl, but you know, take someone else out that he knows is really close to him. He doesn't know about the relationship between Rick and Michonne, but it would be an interesting thing to see that happen.
Yeah, the only thing about Carl is the bit of dialogue that happens before.
Right.
Where it's like, if anybody moves, cut out his other eye and feed it to his father. So, I don't know. Like, it's the only thing that kind of gives me a little bit of pause for Carl.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of people have been saying Abraham. Been seeing that on Twitter.
That's who I thought it was.
Yeah. And then, because, who was it I talked to? Oh, yeah, well, my boyfriend. And he said that he's probably the only one of that group who is stubborn enough to, like, stand back up or sit back up and, like, get ready for the second hit, where he kind of makes the comment where he's like, oh, taking it like a man or taking it like a tough guy, whatever.
Yeah, we even saw when Negan was in front of him and, like, Abraham straightens up and stares him straight in the eye.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And I can see, like, if you're going to take out someone, even though he's doing the eeny, meeny, miny, mo, picking the guy who looks the biggest and the strongest.
Mm-hmm.
Plus, I feel like I think he's sort of done his part, I guess.
Like, his arc seems over mm-hmm. a little bit.
Yeah.
Yeah, he seems kind of throwaway at this point now. And that seems weird as well. Like, he doesn't seem like he is going to do much else besides be Abraham, and that seems to run its course.
Yeah.
You know, like, they could kill Glenn off, which would be a really big FU to the community because they didn't do it before and now they do it.
Yeah, well, in the comic, it is Glenn.
I read that up. I looked it up right away. I was like, I gotta know. Yeah.
Yeah. So I kind of don't think they're going to go that way.
Because maybe they kill Maggie.
Yeah, with every way that they've kind of, like, flipped the bird at the comic book readers.
Mm-hmm.
I also feel like it's not going to be a woman. Huh, again, really, this is just because I haven't read the comic, but I've read about the comic, and Negan seems like the kind of guy who wouldn't kill a woman.
Doesn't he have, like, he's reason. Got code, right?
Like, he has a code. There's a couple things about him. One thing in particular is that he punishes very harshly anyone he finds who has sexually assaulted a woman. Like, he makes an example out of them. Hmm. So I'm thinking maybe not a woman. So,
Well, I'll share one thing that I had a friend of mine tell me. And this is not about the Negan finale, but it was an interesting twist that I could have loved, that I kind of wanted to see happen, just to see how the community would react to it. So we know that Maggie is in a lot of pain. She's about to possibly go into labor.
Is her baby a zombie baby?
Thank you.
Yeah.
Yes. I was like, yes, let it be a zombie baby.
Yes.
They could be killing her from the inside out. This would be the best ever. That would be the best plot line all
as
time.
As soon as you said something, I was like, I know.
It would be so
dope. Yeah, I said that to my
boyfriend.
Yeah.
Oh my God, it would be so dope. That would be such a dope plot. Oh.
Oh my God, I can't even imagine.
That would be an interesting turn of events, I think.
To say the least.
Because no one would know how to react to that. Like, no, I think, no, like, the internet would lose its collective shit.
Yeah. Oh, I feel like there is certain things, despite how far the show has gone, like, I feel like Negan isn't going to bash in the brain of a pregnant woman just cuz.
Well, how he wouldn't know that she's pregnant, right? She just looks like shit.
Yeah.
Like, she's pale and sweaty and
yeah. I was hoping again, that it would be Rick, but also I feel like the just the fact that he has been broken down this episode, it did make me feel a little more for him. Like, oh, well, maybe I don't want him to die. Maybe he'll learn a lesson from this.
We can only hope, but I doubt it.
Do you think that they actually know who's going to die? Like, they haven't started filming, or maybe they have started filming the next season, but do you think they know?
I don't know if they do. I watched The Talking Dead after, speaking of too much dead zombie shows. I watched a little bit of it after, and I think the comic creator was there. Gosh, it happened so recently and I don't remember who was on it. Daryl was there and somebody else was there, and they were talking about it, and I don't think they mentioned that they knew. They kind of said that they had to think about it.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, really go over it. And I thought it was funny that they had, like, a preview for his new show. What's the guy's name that plays Daryl?
I always forget his name.
I don't
know. Having a
but he has like a motorcycle show.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. And so I was like, oh, well, if he's got a new show coming up, maybe it'll be him. But it's, like, in between seasons, so I don't know. But I don't think they ever said that they had any idea of who it was going to be. Like, they had to kind of decide who they wanted to be.
That sucks, though, because then that's like, hey, that's like coming into work and then finding out you got fired.
Yeah,
like, that's so dirty. It's like, oh, we packed up all your stuff for you. Here's your trailer. There you go.
P.S. You're the one that gets the bat to the face.
Right? That sucks.
True. So I don't know. I'm hoping that they have already decided and they just said that to throw people off a little, or to try to throw people off. But I don't know. That's the only thing that I've heard from that show. So
I'm hoping, as I said before, as long as someone dies and it's not a fake out, I'm good with how the finale went.
It's like, no, they're fine. They were wearing a helmet. It's cool.
Mm-hmm.
They only got, like, scratched by the barbed wire. That's the blood that you saw.
Well, Negan does say, I'm going to beat the hell out of you. He doesn't say, I'm going to
kill you. Kill
you?
Oh. True.
No, there's only so many times you can hit someone in the head with a baseball bat.
Wrapped in barbed wire.
Yes.
It's worked for professional wrestlers. Professional wrestlers have done it.
That's true. Works. There was just a couple other key moments of season 6 I wanted to talk about. So in the mid-season premiere, a lot of shit went down there where we basically saw a whole family get devoured by zombies.
Oh, yeah.
Which I feel like everyone's forgotten about now, almost, but that was a pretty intense thing.
Oh wait, Rick's new wife?
Rick's girlfriend and her kids.
I was heartbroken Jesse after that.
Something? Yeah, I wasn't expecting that. Like that did take me by surprise. At first I thought, okay, it's a bad idea that you're taking this young kid who has shown he's maybe not the bravest in the face of imminent death. but yeah, I did not expect just like the whole family to be taken out.
Yeah, as soon as the younger kid started talking to his mother, it was like, oh gosh, like something really bad is gonna happen. Like, just please stop talking.
Mm-hmm.
You're giving the zombies away. They're gonna know you're there.
I had personal beef with that because I had such a crush on her.
Oh, yeah.
I was like, please don't kill her off. She's too fine. Don't do it.
I thought after it was just like, boom, 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 1, 2, 3, it was, at first I was just like, was that a dream sequence? Like, did that really happen? But yeah, so Jesse and her two sons both die. And then that sort of leads to an arc for Carol, which I thought was one of the most interesting parts of the second half of the season, where Carol had told the young kid, I think, was the name Sam?
I think it was Sam. Yeah.
She had told him before, like, she had put these images in his head of zombies eating him while he was alive, and then he freaks out when there's zombies around and gets eaten alive. And so she obviously has this huge sense of guilt over that, and that leads into what I thought was one of the best episodes ever of the show, which was the same boat where Carol and Maggie get kidnapped by that group of saviors.
Yep.
I thought that was a really, really great episode because Carol, she's just been such a badass for so many seasons. Like, she had this great arc from this abused wife and mother who loses her child and then just turns into this, like, killing machine who's always saving everyone else. And then they get kidnapped by these people, and she starts like having a panic attack. She gets this rosary that she's focusing on, and I think, oh well, it's just a ploy, like she's playing dumb. This crucifix that she has is going to be jammed into someone's throat by the end of this episode.
Yeah.
And then there's this sort of dawning realization that she's maybe not faking it, and she is upset to be kidnapped and faced with the prospect of either dying or killing more people.
I mean, I like where Carol's progression is going. I mean, I like it. I think it's an interesting turn for her, but it's also just like, I don't know. Like, I don't want her to not have that focus like she's already had, because she's been the one saving their asses. For like the majority of the last two seasons, she's been like the one who's been holding everything down and holding things together. And now, like, now that you're gone, who's going to do that?
Yeah.
Like, who's going to be that person to step up and do that? And I don't know who.
I thought the relationship between Morgan and Carol got really interesting when he actually killed someone to save her. When he, like, made this vow that he wasn't going to kill anyone anymore, and he shot a dude, like,
6 times.
I couldn't believe that he did that. Yeah. I was so surprised. I thought that he would, like, knock him out or something and drag Carol away, but their roles are almost flipped a little, where she's the timid one now, and he's the one that's trying to protect her and get her to move on, whereas she was the one before who was like, got to be tough, you can't leave these people alive. And now they've kind of swapped roles, which I think is really interesting. Like, I hope Carol kind of gets back into what she was doing before, because I think her character is fascinating. And I don't like seeing her as this kind of scared and meek person. Like, I was hoping it was an act. Then she ran away, like, again. Like, Carol, come on. I just love her. Like, she's become this, like, such this interesting character. So I really hope that she kind of they put her back on her feet where she belongs, and she gets back to being, you know, strong Carol again.
Yeah, I hope so as well. Before the finale aired and I was thinking someone was going to die, I was thinking that it was going to be one of Carol or Morgan, because they had both been sort of occupying this space of not being willing or not wanting to kill. So I was pleased in the finale when it sort of turned things in a different direction.
Speaking of Morgan, mm-hmm. his, like the flashback episode for him, where he's learning.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. I thought that was probably one of my most enjoyed episodes ever. I know a lot of people weren't as interested in it because it didn't really have a lot of the current, I don't think it had any of the current characters, really. It was just kind of his, like, a standalone show, and I thought that episode was fantastic.
Yeah, it had a really deliberate pace to it, which was,
yeah,
which I loved. I loved it. I loved it. I loved it. I loved it. Because it was something that, it made him likable again.
Mm-hmm.
And that was a thing.
Yeah, you weren't really sure about him.
Yeah, because he, it's like they, like the kind of overarching arc for most of the characters in the story are either they're really strong, kind of maniacal, they do what they want and they don't have any regrets, or they come from this really kind of semi-annoying place, continue to be really annoying for a really long time, and then something happens that flips them. Like Michonne was like that for me in the beginning too. Like Michonne was the brute version again, but like didn't talk, didn't say anything for like six episodes, and then became the badass that we know and love now. So it's like Morgan has done that in another way, where he was actually really strong in the beginning and cool and kind of interesting because he had lost it and then came back from the edge, and now that one episode did round him out in a way that I wasn't expecting, and it was super, super cool to see them take the time to do that.
Yeah,
it's funny what you said about Michonne, because I didn't really like her at the beginning of this show. Everyone loved her because she had a sword and she had zombies on leashes. But I actually felt the same way about her and Daryl at the beginning, where Michonne was just like angry, terse woman with sword, and Daryl was just angry, sullen man with crossbow. Mm-hmm. And it took a while for them to actually develop into interesting characters.
Yeah,
agreed on that.
Okay, so does anyone have any other thoughts? We've got a few more questions that came from Twitter, but just if there's anything else anyone else wants to bring up before I get to those?
Kill Daryl.
Kill Daryl. Yeah, I'd be okay with that.
I'd be okay with it at this point.
I think Carol brought out something interesting in him, and Beth brought out something interesting him, and now he's just back to sullen man.
Man, why did you have to talk about Beth?
Oh, sorry.
Oh, Beth.
God, that was another really good episode, too.
Yeah, that was really good.
I was pretty mad about her death, just how it happened.
Yep. Noah, too.
So dumb.
Noah, I think, was the worst death. Noah, Denise, and Beth.
Oh my gosh. All right, so I need like a quick segue for Denise, because her death happened right after another death on the 100, which aired like the exact same week. And I just want to say, stop killing off your gay and lesbian couples, please.
Yes.
Right.
Leave them alone.
Yeah.
Let them be happy.
And the worst thing is, because Tara's actress is like, was very pregnant this season, so she wasn't very present. She doesn't even know about Denise's death yet.
Really?
No, yeah, she went on like some supplies gathering thing, and she doesn't even know that Denise is dead yet.
Yep. Oh, shit.
Yeah.
Nope, she doesn't know. Nope.
Oh, my God.
Uh-huh. Totally doesn't know. She's going to come back looking for soda, orange soda. She's going to be like, my girlfriend is dead.
Oh, my heart.
Yeah, that was a pretty bad week.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah. Did you have any feelings about Beth?
No.
No. I mean, just the way that she died, and then like the way that they revealed everybody reacting to her death, I thought was like really, really well filmed, because you get like her sister, and then like they're walking up thinking she's okay because Daryl's carrying her out, and then she's not, and it's just like, oh my gosh. Yeah, it was good. I think I needed, like, time to recover from that episode. I sobbed my eyes out. Oh, it was so sad. So good. I don't know. I just, like, I know people are going to die, but I'm never ready for it. It's just, everything comes so suddenly.
That's true. It's, the people who you think are going to get it never do, and it's always things that take you by surprise.
Yeah.
Okay, so there are a few questions from listeners. The first one is from 16-Bit Catholic, who asks, will we ever see Merle in a flashback again?
I hope not.
Yeah, I don't think we will. Since no. He's been zombified, I think his role is finished.
Yeah, I think he's done.
Yeah, I don't think that there would be much else that his character could help with in a flashback. there's no, like, insight to be gained from him, I don't think.
He's going to talk to Daryl and be like, stop being an idiot and running out and screaming.
Yeah. Yeah. One last parting advice.
Yeah.
Brotherly advice. Brotherly advice.
Yeah. All right. Another question is from STC Pod. How would Shane have handled the saviors?
Oh, man.
That's a tough one.
That's hard.
Like, Shane doesn't have... As much as I dislike Rick, I feel like Shane has less mental fortitude than him. I mean, he was so guilt-ridden in season 2 when he shot Otis, who was probably going to die anyway, but he shot him to save himself, and he was just, mm-hmm. like, riddled with guilt and just completely irrational after that. So I feel like Shane wouldn't have done any better. I think he just would have gone in guns blazing and... died.
Got himself killed. Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's what I was thinking about. Like, would he have lived that long?
I don't think he would have been able to live that long.
Where the show is?
Yeah, he would have, like, been dead a long time ago.
Yeah. I don't think, like, even if you were to pluck him from that time period and put him there, like, I think what you said before definitely applies. Like, he probably would just go in there and, like, try and kill them all and then die in the mm-hmm. process.
And the last question is from Musty Hobbit. Which character from season 4 or earlier would you bring back and why?
Honestly, I think everyone had their honorable death. Like, I don't think of anyone now who I would like to see come back because of the way that things have turned and in the way that people have been pushed in different directions because of those deaths. So to bring someone back now would be super weird, because that would be awesome. Unless they were going to come back as, like, a zombie. Like, if you saw, like, the zombie governor just roaming around, that would be dope.
Oh, God.
That would be dope. But, like, to see that someone actually come back as an actual character and like, reconnect with the group, I think that wouldn't do the series any justice at this point.
Yeah, I guess they did that, I guess, with Morgan.
Right.
Sort of. Mm-hmm. But there wasn't, like, was there anybody else that they met kind of along the way that they could do that with again?
There were some early people in, like, the first season who went on their own way rather than go to the CDC, but none that I remember. When I saw this question, I was thinking of, because I do think it's Abraham that gets killed at the end, and... Sasha has lost her brother, she's lost Bob, if she now loses Abraham, who she's been flirting with or whatever, I don't know how much time has passed there, I would want Tyrese back so she could at least have her brother.
I would much rather Tyrese than, yeah, you know, yeah, because I don't like that relationship with Abraham and what's her face.
No.
It's weird and gross. I don't care. I'll say it. It's gross.
He is
not hot.
No.
No.
And I was really upset in the finale when they're driving and he's, like, pointing to Maggie being pregnant. It's like, do you think we could do that? It's like, what?
No.
No, don't say that. Why would you ask that? Are you even together yet?
Like, watch the road, yeah. Abraham. God.
They've been doing a lot of sex winking and nodding, though. They've been like, hey, well, you know. Mm-hmm. So... zombie apocalypse, not gonna live, might as well have a baby. Okay, stop that.
Mm-hmm. Sasha, no.
Yeah, right? It's like, come on, Sasha, no. Stop it, Sasha. I'm like, he's...
Go back to your sniper
post. Word, leave him alone. He's gross.
Yeah. He's gross.
He's not even talking English half the time.
No. I'm like, you know what? Anywho, that's a whole another rant. Anyway.
All right, so that's it for the questions. Does anyone have any parting thoughts on The Walking Dead?
I'm hoping that the season startup for season, what is it, 7 now? Wow. I hope that there is some closure for people who are really upset. But I also hope that it is somebody that we really didn't expect. And I think it would be cool if they took a top person out. I think that would really throw things for a really weird loop, which I think would be really cool to see them say no one is safe, and this is how we show that no one is safe.
Yeah, really shake things up. Mm-hmm. Like, they've been really comfortable, it feels like, for a while, really confident that they can do whatever they want, especially like whenever they get kind of in a place and they stay there. You know, they're about at that point where they need to really be shaken up and stuff needs to kind of change pretty drastically to make the group evolve. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree. I hope next season is really starts off with a big bang and shocks everybody. That'd be great.
I agree. I'd like to see something unexpected happen. And I also just really don't want a repeat of Terminus. Like, I want the savior thing to go on for a little bit and not just be resolved immediately after all this buildup.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe Carol will just come out of nowhere again.
Oh, no.
And she'll be like, Morgan, let's go. And they just like,
surprise, motherfucker.
On a horse.
Yes, that's right. Oh, yeah, with those knight dudes that they met. Like, who were those guys?
Oh, word. I forgot all about them. Oh, shit. Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
just remember that.
This can't happen. All right. So I think that wraps up our talk about The Walking Dead. Khalif, thank you again for joining us. It was a pleasure to have you here.
Thank you so much for having me. This was a blast. You guys are so much fun to hang out with. So I had a bunch of fun talking and fussing about all things Walking Dead. And I'd love to come back whenever you would have me.
Awesome. That would be excellent. Oh,
man. We'd love to have you back anytime.
Do you want to tell people where they can find you?
You can hear the Spawn on Me podcast in numerous places. You can hear us on iTunes, NPR One, our home of ESN.FM, and our home site of SpawnOn.me. We air every Tuesday. Usually things go up around noon Eastern. And you can check us out every week on Tuesday on Spawn on Me. Yep.
Awesome. And Riley, where can people find you?
You can find me on Twitter at my handle Kaleri. That's K-A-L-E-R-I with an underscore.
And you can find me on Twitter at Jasyla underscore. That's J-A-S-Y-L-A underscore. A username which I am hoping to replace sometime soon, if anyone has suggestions. Or you can find me at cannotbetamed.com or Cannot Be Tamed on YouTube.
And if you've got any feedback, questions, people, or topics you'd like to hear on future episodes of the show, you can reach out to us at MediaMavensCast@gmail.com, or you can contact us on our brand new Twitter account, _MediaMavens. And we're up on iTunes and Stitcher now, so if you like the show, leave us reviews, you know, rate us thumbs up, and any feedback is good. We're just starting out, so whatever you have to say, we definitely want to hear it.
Thanks for listening, and I hope we'll see you next time.